Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, April 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Someday I will live a life without a computer. I will dig a bunker in Montana and move there and sit in the dark and read old newspapers. Until that time, I'm stuck with computers and so are you. So, we'll deal with your computer issues today. Tony Yang is with us to answer your questions. Tony is the operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, currently managing the computer network here at WAMC, doing a splendid job at that. Our number to call if you have a computer question, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a computer question, voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, but the number again is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang, your computer questions, coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here to answer your computer and technology questions is Tony Yang. Tony began Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. It's now one of the largest PC... Hey, learn the language. My second language. It's now one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one. If you have a computer question, give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, but the number is 800-348-2551 if you do have a computer question, and who doesn't? Tony Yang, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hey, great. I'm doing great, Ray. Thanks for inviting me back.
Nice
to be back.
Great to have you here. And I just want to start the show by saying I'm really sick of computers. What do you say to that?
You and 99.9% of people out there who have to deal with problems, I get it. You know, it's partly why we're in business is to help people out and solve some of these problems out there.
That's right. And, you know, but really what has driven me nuts in the last week is this latest Windows update. And so my computer, it says, okay, I get a little icon. You got to restart, update and restart. I have done it probably 30 times in the last week, and it still says you got to restart. What am I doing wrong? What can I do to fix that?
So usually in your case, I think some of the updates didn't run properly. So even though it downloads all the updates, it takes time to install some of these updates, especially when you have what we normally refer to as non-cumulative updates. So in other words, you got 10 levels of upgrades and you have to go through level 1, 2, 3 until you can get to 10.
Yeah.
That happens every once in a while. That might be a situation where it can't put the final update on it until you have the previous updates that were mandatory before you can do the latest one. So that's a possibility. The other possibility is that the update somehow never gets installed properly. So it's trying to update, but there's a problem with the update process itself. So because it's never finished, it's just telling you to reboot it over and over, because reboot lots of times solves problems, especially when it comes to installations. So, you know, a couple of different possibilities. I'd love to take a look at it for you one of these days and see what's going on if you don't get through it.
I'm not sure I can afford your hourly, but your advice is good. And I'll practice patience and I'll keep trying. Let's go to one email here, and then we'll go to the phones. The number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here to answer your computer questions. This one's from Norm in Albany. Norm writes, I bought a name brand laptop about 3 years ago for $450. Recently, it started to malfunction. Is it worth the cost to try to repair it, or should I just go buy a new laptop? And that's from Norm.
Yeah, that's always a great question. You know, the repairs, you're looking at possibly replacing a part, and then you got labor on top of it. Most companies will charge you at least hour of labor or hour and a half just to start the process of looking at repair or something. So now you're looking at 150 plus the part, almost halfway through through the entire cost of the laptop to buy a brand new.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult question to answer, honestly. Some people, it depends on the situation. If you don't have a whole lot on the computer and you want to get something new, I think to pay a couple hundred dollars more to have something brand new up to date is worthwhile. On the other hand, if you got a bunch of applications on it that are particular, meaning you can't easily port over to another computer, you really ought to think about just getting it repaired, because now you save all the headache of installing all the applications all over again, and who knows what potential problems might come up during that entire migration process. So, you know, some things to consider.
Tony Yang is our guest. It's Computers Today. You know, regarding laptops, and I must confess that I have, you know, I like fiddling around with my desktop tower, and I'll replace parts and do things, but I've never opened up a laptop. My brother, who doesn't, he's a little cranky. He doesn't share my sunny disposition, but he has worked on laptops before. Are the new laptops getting so micro miniature that it's just not worth it for the amateur to give it a try?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ray. The laptops now, especially these what they called thin platform ones. So most Macs, as an example, we're bringing Macs without Mark being here, but most Mac these days, because they're built so thinly that most of the parts are integrated. So even if you want to replace them, it's almost impossible because it's all onto the main board.
Yeah.
PCs have followed suit as well. So lots of these thin platform laptops out there have many of the parts integrated. So as an example, you used to be able to just buy a modular hard drive.
Yeah.
Take the old hard drive out and put a drive in and there go, you know, there goes more space or faster speed. You can't do that now with a lot of the laptops because the circuit is actually soldered right onto the board. So it is true, the newer devices, newer laptops have more integrated circuitry on the main board, therefore giving you less ability to do the upgrades and replacing parts.
Tony Yang is our guest, and we'll get to the phones in a moment. 800-348-2551. So you're talking about surface mount technology. You're in the repair business. What do you guys do when you have to repair something that is all surface mount?
Unfortunately, you know, there are situations where we just can't, or that economically, it's not worthwhile.
So just get the replacement board and pop it in.
Yeah, I mean, you look at if you look at a laptop, let's say for $500 brand new, if it's a very, very integrated motherboard, that board could cost almost as much as the entire laptop itself, and then you got all the labor on top of that. It just doesn't make any sense. So when we recommend and make repairs for customers, we lay this all out for the customer. These are your options. This is how much it is. And honestly, you know, there's been situations and you know, more often than most people think, where we just don't recommend it. It doesn't make any sense. Stuff that we wouldn't do ourselves, we don't recommend that for our clients.
Tony Yang is our guest. It's Computers Today. The number is 800-348-2551. And let's grab a call here before the first break, maybe two. Jane is in Columbia County. Jane, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
You bet. Go ahead.
So, Tony, my husband has three Sony Vaios, the big ones, and he loves them. And we need motherboards. The keyboards aren't working. What do we do? We were told Sony doesn't support them, and we can't find motherboards. We bought one from England 2 years ago, and it lasted 6 months, and I just don't know what we want to see what we can do to save these. We have some information on them also.
Old Sonys. Tony.
Yeah, these Sony Vaios, they were actually really good machines. Beautiful, too, at the time that they first came out. I have had good luck finding parts that I need on eBay.
Ah.
Of all places, there are millions of parts on there. That people have found in their garage or, you know, from a broken laptop, but working parts that they eBay on the site. So we have had luck finding difficult to locate parts on eBay. I would strongly suggest that you take a look at that. normally you would just have to type in the part number and some match will come up. I rarely find where there's nothing. They do come from overseas sometimes. You can't avoid that when they're real difficult to find parts. But I've historically been able to locate parts in the U.S. It's rare that we have to go abroad to find a part.
Jane, have you tried eBay?
Yes, well, I'll try. But I mean, how do you guarantee the stuff you're getting?
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Yeah, that's the tough part. So what you do, Jane, what we do is we look at the rating of the seller. So we don't buy anything from sellers that are rated 97% and below. That's our benchmark. You have to have 97% or better rating, and you got to have hundreds of ratings on it before we actually purchase a part from
right.
the seller.
You think smoke boards and parts are, I mean, we can't send these back to Sony, right, Tony?
No. They still make some components, but are not a large PC vendor anymore. The other thing you can do is, with the information that you have on these laptops, you do know that you can port these over to a new laptop if you want to. Any information on these old laptops can be migrated over. So that's certainly another option to consider.
Okay, Jane.
What about migrating them over to a computer? I mean, I have computers.
Well, that's what he just said, right?
Yep. Laptops or desktops or laptops, you can do the same thing.
But we can't open them. They can't with the keyboard. There's nothing. They're dead.
Yeah, that's an issue, right, Tony?
Yep. So fortunately, with the Sony Vios, they have modular hard drives in it. So if you take it to a repair shop, they're able to take that apart, take the drive out, and transport all that information onto a new device for you. So information is there. You can absolutely get to it and put it over to a different device. So Jane, it is doable.
Jane, thanks a lot for the call. We got to take a break here. It's Computers Today with Tony Yang. It's 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us. VoxPopWAMC.org is the email address. We'll be back. Silver, the title track from the Jody Grind here on WAMC Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Computers Today. It's not music. Although music is nice, Tony Yang is also nice. He'll answer your questions. Susie and Hudson. Susie, you're on.
Hi. I'm very computer savvy, so I'm probably not even going to ask the question right.
Okay.
But I have an old Dell laptop that has a lot of photographs on there that I was working with until the whole Windows 7, you had to switch over to Windows 10. Otherwise, I didn't really even know what was going to happen. I tried to download Windows 10 to keep working with that computer, but I didn't have enough space, and there just were so many pictures I was going to have to let go of. I didn't really know what to do. So I'm just asking for advice if I should just transfer everything all over to my new HP, which I kind of don't want to because this doesn't work the same way as my old Dell. So any advice?
Okay, Tony.
Susie, thanks for the question. And I got a simple solution for you, inexpensive one
okay.
too. You can get, so when you upgrade from Windows 7 to Windows 10, believe it or not, Windows 10 has a smaller platform than a Windows 7 machine. In other words, it uses less storage than Windows 7. But the upgrade process is what takes a lot of space. So what you can do is, you know, borrow or purchase a small USB drive, just plug it in and download your photo to either a portable drive or over to your new HP laptop temporarily. That way, you're doing it to give it more space so that it can finish up the upgrade. And once the upgrade is done, you'll notice that all your space will come back, and then you can put the pictures back.
Ah, okay. I will definitely give that a try. That I didn't know that, and that just completely solves everything.
Well, in theory. All right, Susie, thanks a lot for the question. And Tony, thanks for the answer. Tony Yang is our guest. It's 800-348-2551. We go to Jerry in Michigan. Are you really in Michigan, Jerry?
I am.
Well, how did you find out about this program?
I used to live in Columbia County a long time ago.
Well, welcome back to the area. You're on with Tony Yang.
Okay, my question is also about laptops. I have a couple of my kids' old ones. One's an HP ProBook, the other's an HP Chromebook, and I'm trying to keep them going, but they're both getting loose. You know, when I try to charge them up at the point where the plug goes in, it's not lighting up, it's not holding a charge. I'm just wondering, is there another way to charge these up that I just don't know about, or what should I do?
Yeah, the older laptops, unfortunately, uses a proprietary jack, so you don't have much of a choice but to use the power adapter that it comes with. Now, you know, for listeners who might have newer laptops where they nowadays are using the USB-C connections, with that capability, you can use any of the ports that's on your laptop to charge it. So in your case, Jerry, I have to assume that you don't have the USB-C charger on that. So the only way you can charge it is by using the cord that it comes with. I do suggest perhaps to have that jack looked at by a repair shop. Sometimes, you know, it's just a loose jack, and what you can do is you can replace that, soldering, you know, getting a new power jack replaced on a laptop should cause a minimal amount of money if you want to continue using those.
Okay. And does it make more sense to get the jack looked at than to just buy another cord at this point?
Yeah. The power cords, if they start breaking, you know, if the cord is plugged into your laptop and you wiggle the end, in other words, the part of the cable that's right behind the jack, if that part isn't doing anything for you, then it's unlikely that it's the power supply itself.
So it's the socket.
Especially when it's loose, you know, that kind of tells me that the socket itself is going.
So you're saying for future advice, if I just decide to replace these, I should look for one with more charging options then, because I'm kind of sad these don't have any.
Yeah.
I was like, it would make sense to me if you could just plug in something else and, you know, charge it up. But, of course, that's me. So.
Yep. Well, that's the Michigan
order new way. Devices right. out there.
All right, Jerry.
Order new devices out there and now uses USB-C.
Jerry, thanks a lot for the call. Tony Yang is our guest. Nice to hear from Michigan, right, Tony?
Yes. That was a great surprise.
Highlight of my career. Let's go to Ann in Altamont. Ann, you're on.
I wish my problem could be as readily solved.
Uh-oh.
So I have a Toshiba satellite laptop that right after I got my taxes all done, it went blank. You turn it on, it looks like it's on, but the screen didn't come up. And we also have it hooked to our TV, so I could turn on the TV to see if the screen, you know, if it was just the screen, and it wasn't. So we went to, and we've got a lot of stuff on this computer, and so we went to a place, and we left it, and we bought a new computer to transfer data onto, and they called today and said they can't transfer the data. They've tried 5 times, and they could send it out. And that might cost starting at $200. And I'm thinking there's got to be a better way.
Hmm. Boy, and you know, I hate to be the deliverer of bad news.
Oh no!
But, if you got a place that's already looked at it, typically it's pretty simple. You know, you take the drive out, hook it up to a desktop computer or a laptop computer, and copy the data over. When laptops break, especially when a screen doesn't come up, it's usually not the drive itself.
Oh boy!
But it sounds like in your case, it's the drive. And to be all honest with you, sending it to a place that can professionally look at it, $200 is a real bargain. I mean, the places that we send these things to start in the thousands.
What?
Yeah, because you have to be in a clean room, just to be in a room itself.
Wow.
Costs many hundreds of dollars.
Where do you send it? The NSA? What are you talking about here?
you know when we brought it in, the guy pulled up something on whatever he hooked up, and he said, "Oh, I can see all your files there.
Oh.
You know, we can transfer them." And so I guess I'm wondering, how is it they could see them but that they can't transfer them? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, that does not make any sense. So in that case, Ann, how about getting a second opinion?
So what you're saying is the first people were incompetent, Tony? Is that what you're implying?
Boy, you know, I mean,
right,
if they've already looked at it and it's there.
Well, this is, this is a store that sells computers, and they've got this squad of young kids that.
yes. All right. Say no more. Yes, I understood.
I will have a second opinion on that because it sounds like there is something there, and I hate to see you losing all that data.
All right.
So where would you suggest going?
Yeah, don't say yourself, Tony, because that would be against public radio rules.
That's right. Places, there are lots of places out there. I actually think, you know, for something like that, the Best Buy, Geek Squad is not a bad place to go to. You know, they can do these basic things.
That's where we went.
Oh, boy.
Maybe try a local place. I don't want to give out any names because I think we're not allowed to do that.
But
look around. There are reputable places out there that can do that.
Okay.
Okay, and I had two very short questions. One was, we had bought a Chromebook at Christmas time, and I thought they could transfer data onto that, but they said that doesn't hold data. Everything goes in the cloud. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I think generally that's correct. There are some ways around it, but generally that is correct.
Okay, and the other quick question, when you go to buy computers, they have the ones now where the whole computer is in the screen. You know, you just get that screen and the keyboard. Is that not a good idea because screens tend to go?
You know, I don't know if you were listening earlier when Ray and I were talking about how things are very, very integrated now. So when you get just a screen that has all the components built in, they tend to get very hot sometimes. And, the biggest downside, I think, for me, for somebody like myself, is that if something breaks, it's almost impossible to replace. You have to replace the whole thing.
Okay.
So I prefer something with more modular in it because it allows me to replace them as they break.
All right, Ann, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here to answer your technology and computer questions. Tim in Hudson. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing today? I have
Tim.
Technical question.
I'm doing okay as well.
Right, hey, how are you?
Yeah, great.
I have a technical question that is I need somebody that has a computer experience, but it actually has financial implications. Everybody knows that cryptocurrency is really hot right now, and it is in its own little bubble of a world. However, we're at the precipice of the quantum computing age, and from what I read from some of the best tech stuff is that once quantum computing becomes a thing in this day, that the capacity of these computers to break the best cryptography of cryptocurrency is there, and they said this makes today's cryptocurrency really, really vulnerable to use of computer quantum computing. So what I'm kind of asking you is, do you think that quantum computing is going to radically change our current standard computer-based cryptocurrency? And if so, would it be smart to look forward towards the cryptocurrency that's coming out now that is quantum resistant, such as quantum resistant ledger?
Wow. Wow. What a question. What a question.
It is a financial question, but the roots of the answer is very much in tech.
I love it.
Because
it sure is.
Really,
it
cryptocurrency
sure
is just technology. So
yeah,
I know quantum computers are coming, but the impact that it's going to have is kind of a big question.
Yeah. So, Ray, you stop me when if I say anything inappropriate on this,
all
right?
You just go ahead. I'm going to go over to OTB for a few minutes. You take it.
Okay. So I'll kind of quickly answer that based on my experience and what I've read to date. So if you recall when Bitcoin first came out, okay, that's kind of the most popular cryptocurrency out there right now. When it first came out, you know, you could get a computer and form an entire coin within a matter of perhaps weeks and produce a Bitcoin. Now, you look at it today, so not many years ago this was happening. You look at it today, now it takes probably dozens or hundreds of computers, many, many weeks or many, many months to produce one now. So the encryption that you need to mine these things, the computing power that you need to decrypt these is on the rise as well. So they're not moving independently, they're moving proportionally. So my best guess is that when quantum computer comes out, that will kind of move on the same curve, that it's going to require much, much more than what we need today to produce the mine.
That's what I'm reading. They said that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
They said that if they end up, all it would take is one person to use quantum to crack one of the coin's codes, and then they said it would just be a watershed moment that pretty much all of the old style coins that are not crypto or quantum resistant would then become extremely vulnerable to attack.
Mm-hmm. Extremely vulnerable. Sorry to interrupt there, but just think about, you know, what the ratios are now that we know of, right? Google's quantum computer is able to solve a problem within like a second, while it takes tens of years for the most powerful computer to solve. Mm-hmm. So the scales are just so,
exactly.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, Tim, we got to let you go, but thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Tony Yang is our guest, and let's go to Cindy in New York, New York. Hello, Cindy. Cindy, can you turn your radio down just a wee bit? Oh, no, Cindy's on delay. Hello, Cindy. Hello. Oh, boy. She'll be getting the message in a moment. Okay. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the show. Good to have you. Hi. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a Dell computer that's like 7-8 years old now. And it came with, I think, probably Windows 7 on it. And then I went up to 8.1. And then I got the opportunity to do the upgrade for free to Windows 10 when it came out. And everything worked fine for a while. And a couple years ago, the Windows 10 updates started failing. I'm stuck on 1703.
Oh,
the 18s won't go through. The 19s, I think they're in the 20s now. And I get the message that says, we will no longer support your outdated browser.
Oh, boy.
Except here's the thing. Nothing will update or download on my computer. The Microsoft Edge updates fail.
Oh, boy.
I've tried to download Google, Mozilla there, the Foxfire, one of those. All of them fail. it's like my whole computer is in some sort of lockdown mode.
Oh, no.
And so, and I've done everything. I've went to the forums, and they give you the little things to try. I've done all of that, and nothing has worked. So, I don't know what I should do at this point. Why do you think it's doing that?
It's, you know, this happens actually quite often. We see these upgrade troubles.
I mean, should I buy Windows 8.1 again, get the license code, and maybe get rid of 10 and go back to 8? Or am I looking to buy a new?
Go ahead,
I tell you what I recommend, Cindy, is not that you go back to Windows 8, but I think there's something that's residual from the upgrade that's preventing you from getting the latest updates. I would recommend that you wipe out what's already there. In other words, you're going to do a complete formatting of the drive and put Windows 10 on there as a brand new operating system. That should take care of many of the issues that you have. I would say 95% or more of the time. What's preventing it from doing all the successful updates is older stuff there that's conflicting with the newer stuff. So wiping that out and reinstalling Windows 10 on there, I think is a great option that allows you to start fresh with a new operating system.
But is there a way that Cindy can do that without losing all her data, though, all her files and such?
Yeah. So grab use a online backup like a Google Drive if you have a terabyte or less of data. If you have more, use an external USB drive to back it up before you do the reformatting, and then you can just copy back all the data once the
to buy Windows 10 again because it was a free upgrade at the time. I would have to buy Windows 10.
If you have a free upgrade,
to get a new license code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. your old license code will activate on the new one, so you shouldn't have to pay for that if you got a free upgrade.
All right, Cindy, we got to take a break here. Zach, the engineer, the veins in his forehead are popping out. There's some technical issues, and let's take a break, and everybody will cool down. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Oh, it's Computers with Tony Yang, and there's more radio excitement ahead. Right now, it's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Computers Today with Tony Yang, and we'll get back to the phones in a moment. This email came in from my buddy John Fisher down at the Culinary Institute. But by the way, Tony, do you know John Fisher?
John Fisher?
No. Did you ever work on his computers before? Because I tell you what, the guy...
I can't say I recall.
He's a mixologist. Like, if you wanted an extra dry Rob Roy or a Rusty Nail or, a Stinger or something, he makes cocktails par excellence. So just bear this in mind and try to answer his question. This is from John, and he writes, I have an old, like more than 10 years old, 15-inch MacBook Pro that was a great computer I actually wrote 3 books on. It's currently in a coma, sitting in a closet. Is it possible and or practical to revive it?
That is a old computer,
yeah,
even when it comes to Mac.
Well, John's pretty old.
I wouldn't recommend spending much of a resource to revive that. I mean, certainly get the data off it, but to revive something that's that old, I think economically is not sensible most of the time.
Okay.
But I love to become friends with him. We all need a good mixologist.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, a nice old-fashioned or something. Next time on we do the show, it'll be very relaxing. This is from Bob, and this is another iOS/Mac question. So you do your best on this, Tony. Bob in Round Lake writes, I've had a mysterious problem with Safari on both Mac and iOS. Actually, a couple of them, and they're unrelated. I heard that once upon a time, you could reset or refresh Safari, reset it to factory conditions. Can you uninstall Safari and remove any plist files, then reinstall Safari to refresh all the settings to factory new condition, then reset the settings as desired? Did you get all that, Tony?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, Safari works much like any other browser. So there is a, you can go into the settings on Safari. I actually use Safari on a PC, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You can go in there and basically factory default everything back to the way it was when you first installed it. So you can do that within settings easily on any of the platforms.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's a good one. Then we'll go to one more email, and then we'll go back to the phones. Some hilarious emails that I can't read. This one is from Roger in Stafford, Connecticut. Do you know how to get rid of the profile picture circle from the center of the Facebook banner? It really interferes with any good art I might put in the banner area. Used to be at the left. That's his first question. Any ideas?
How do you get rid of the profile? My profile doesn't have any pictures on it at all. As far as how to remove that altogether, I don't have the answer for that. I'm stuck on that.
All right. Well, we'll let that one go
interesting.
Then.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll
this
get back
one,
to him.
This one is from, still from Roger. Second question. Laptops are getting thinner, and they are losing ports and changing them. I don't want one. I want lots of ports so I can continue to use my peripherals. Multiple USB 3 ports, Ethernet, DVD drive, headphone jack, even a serial port. Is there a thick laptop for when I need to replace my older, superior laptop? And that's from Roger in Stafford. So this guy's old school. Is there any new, factory new, old school fat laptop?
Yeah, there actually are out there. Dell bought many years ago, they bought a gaming laptop manufacturer. And if you actually just go on to Dell as an example and type in gaming laptops, they come up with these laptops that look like, you know, the same thickness that we had 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That's because they're made for gaming. So all the ports are there, just like a desktop. It's got a modular video card that you can change and upgrade over time if you want.
Yes.
So yes, they are definitely out there. The most of the main manufacturers do produce old style laptops, not the fully integrated.
Okay.
So yes, they're out there.
Now, can Roger find a 1977 Monte Carlo to drive? That's the question. Tracy in Schenectady. Tracy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a PC, and this follows up on the Michigan woman's question. So my PC, the plug, the adapter is loose in the plug, and I know it's, you know, the adapter's fine. That's not the issue. It has to do with the plug being loose. And you mentioned the potential for USB power. This laptop is less than 2 years old. How would I know if I had that ability? I have multiple USB ports, but I'm not sure if I can somehow hook up power to any of those ports.
Yeah.
USB charging, Tracy, is a fairly recent phenomenon. 2 years ago, I think you're probably in that borderline. Now, if your laptop came with a proprietary charger, then it's not USB-C capable for charging.
Okay.
The ones that do have that ability.
Here's the second part of the question. I took it to like Best Buy, and they said they'd have to send it off for them to look at that outlet port. And I really can't do without it. not for a day or 2 days or anything like that. So is there some option for me? I mean, it seems like someone should have solved this problem, right? Because all it is that my adapter needs to make contact inside of that connection. Is there any kind of adapter that someone has created to address this?
There is none that I know of. The best recommendation I have for you would be to have that part ordered. Typically, I'll give you an example of how we would deal with something like that. We will order the part, and then when it comes in, and it gets soldered right there and replaced right there, so you can get it back within a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a tough situation now, Tracy, unfortunately.
All right.
There's got to be shops out there that can do this for you without costing you too much downtime.
Tracy, thanks a lot for the call. Now let's go to lovely Port Jervis, New York. Raymond, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Okay, Raymond. Greetings from the upper Delaware River Valley, scenic
right.
area. Anyway.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, I have a Lenovo. It's not all that big. It's about at least 4 or 5 years old. I totally revamped it. I put a solid-state hard drive in it, and now I'm having a problem. When I bring it up, there's no working taskbar.
Uh-oh.
What I had on the taskbar, and I keep my taskbar up to the right because I'm right-handed, and the taskbar won't come up.
Okay.
I can't get into settings. I can't get up into the top into settings or any of that.
I got a couple ideas, but how about we go to the expert first, Tony?
Sometimes the taskbar disappears because it.
Oh, Tony disappeared as well. Are you there, Tony? No. Did we lose everybody? I can hear myself now. Are we on the air? Okay, so is this one of those Orson Welles situations where the Martians are coming down? Raymond, if you're on, keep talking. And Tony, if you're on, keep talking. And I'll just keep talking. And maybe someone can let me know if we're actually on the air. Hello.
Okay.
All right, Raymond,
yeah,
you still
I'm
there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Tony, what about you?
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, Raymond, let me give you my idea first, and we'll see if we get Tony back. So anyway, man, I mean, it could be that you have inadvertently resized your screen, your view screen. So what I would do, can you get a mouse on that screen?
Yeah, the mouse works. Everything works. I can finagle my way around it, but I still can't use the taskbar. I use Firefox.
Okay.
So I can pull up web pages, but
yeah,
the taskbar is useful.
All right, man. So what I would recommend is take your mouse and right-click in an open area on your desktop and see what it says about magnification first. Then, if your taskbar is usually on the right, left-click, hold it down, and just drag from the far left into the center and see if sometimes you can just drag that, even if you can't see it, you could drag that taskbar back. I've had this issue before, and it's driven me nuts. And then it just, you sort of keep doing things until it comes back.
I hear you.
I mean, I'm not the
experimentation.
Expert, but Tony Yang is gone, so I'm just giving it my best shot. How's the weather down in Port Jervis?
Oh, it's sunny, 60-plus degrees. It's going to rain tomorrow, but I can deal with that because it's sweet.
Yeah.
Everything's starting to open up.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sweet down here.
So you put a solid-state drive in your laptop then?
Yes.
And was that a tough task?
Yeah, I revamped it, boosted up the memory, put a solid-state drive in, and now I think it's on its last legs, to be honest, because now I think the video card is going, because when everything loads...
Oh, yeah.
The first screen where I hit escape to get out of that to punch my password in, that's all frazzled out.
I like the way you said that.
Color.
You scared me for a minute when you started to say is Tony Yang there? Are you there, Tony?
Hey, Ray. Huh? I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm on.
Welcome back, sir. So, where we left you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Raymond was having some trouble with his taskbar, and I gave him some inartful, unexpert advice. What do you have to say to Raymond and Port Jervis?
Yeah, no, I think.
Hello?
Lost him again.
Well, you know what happened, Raymond? We decided we would go with these phones over IP years ago so we could have up to 10 lines of callers. And they work great,
right,
except when they reboot. And it frankly, as a talk show host, it annoys me a great deal. Tony, are you there?
Yes. Hey, Ray, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Huh. Yeah, it looks like, sounds like I'm cutting in and out here.
Yeah.
Yep, no, I heard what you said. So I was able to hear everything that you and Raymond said. I think your suggestions are good. You know, task bar settings could be a number of things. Right-clicking on a blank space, just going into that personalized menu and see what's going on with your taskbar could give you a lot of information. Sometimes, you know, these taskbars get dragged without even us knowing it, and they get hidden sometimes. But go into the taskbar setting in your computer control panel settings menu and take a look
at
it.
That's the thing. Sometimes I can get into a control panel. Other times I can't. And if I do, somehow it's not letting me. It just goes around and around in circles.
Okay. So.
And I think the video card is going too. I might just take the solid state drive out and donate this thing. I don't know yet, but right. I'm just trying to. Yeah. If I can fix it, I will.
Well, Raymond, I must say that maybe it's because of your name, but you're obviously one of the most intelligent callers we've ever had. But we got to let you go, and thank you very much. Enjoy Port Jervis. Well, Tony, the engineers are running around in the other room. I don't know if you can still. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So apparently, what we're saying is being delayed and going back into the control room like on a 10 to 12 second. It's like a Phil Spector recording. There's a slapback delay, and they're confused. I'm confused. Want to try one more call before we wrap up here?
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. And thank you for your patience, sir. Let's go to Charlie in Kingston. Charlie.
Hey there. I have a Dell with a Windows 10 on it. That works good, okay. But I'm wondering what you think about the feasibility of doing like a dual boot where I can use Ubuntu as well as my Windows 10. And you have any thoughts or resources that you could point to?
Yeah, dual boots are pretty common. Actually, in fact, if you install Ubuntu, let's say, onto a Windows system, it will ask you whether or not you want a dual boot system. I will say this, Charlie. You know, these days there's virtualization. So if you have Windows 10, you can put Hyper-V on there, and let your Linux run as a virtual machine within it. That might be a better way to go because that allows you to kind of multitask and use your Windows while the whole Linux system is running within it. That's a better way to go these days. So dual boot systems are not as common anymore because of it, because now you can virtualize many different environments within one OS.
All right, that's where we will have to leave it, Charlie. I'm so sorry. Tony Yang, I got to say, you were spectacular today. Well done, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And it was a pleasure.
Well, the rest of the show was an abomination, but, you know, we'll do better next time. Hey, man, we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks a lot. Support comes from State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned grocery and food specialty store, in-store, home delivery, and curbside pickup, 413-584-2301, statestreetfruit.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie presenting a new installation in the original art gallery featuring oil paintings by Winslow Homer and other American artists, arkellmuseum.org. Well, there you have it, another Vox Pop down the tubes. Thanks to Tony Yang of Gig Computers for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the calls. Many apologies for not getting to yours if you've been on the line. You can hang up now. We'll do it again soon. Thanks to Jordan Yuxall, who took the calls and screened them and made sure they were okay. Hey, it was, I'm not going to lie. There were some technical issues there, but I suggest you stand by and listen to whatever's coming next because it might well be just as interesting.